a beauty from South Alabama. Her daddy had a heart like a 9-pound hammer. Think he even did a little time in the slammer. What was I thinking? She snuck out one night and met me by the front gate. Her daddy came out waving that 12-gauge. We tore out the drive, he peppered my tailgate. What was I thinking? Oh, I knew there'd be hell to pay. But that crossed my mind a little too late. 'Cause I was thinking that a little white tank top sitting right there in the middle by me. I was thinking about a long kiss, man. Just gotta get going where the night might be. I know what I was feeling. But what was I thinking? Kicked it in four wheels, shut off the lights and tore through a cornfield. What was I thinking? Out the other side, she was hollering faster. Took the dirt road, had the radio blasting. Hit the honky-tonk for a little close dancing. What was I thinking? Oh, I knew there'd be hell to pay. But that crossed my mind a little too late. 'Cause I was thinking about a little white check top sitting right there in the middle by. Kill tattoo, tried to cut in, I knocked out his front tooth. We ran outside, hood sliding like Bo Duke. What was I thinking? I finally got her home at a 2:30. Later, daddy's in a lawn chair sitting on the driveway. Put it in park as he started my way. What was I thinking? Oh, what was I thinking? Oh, what was I thinking? Then she gave a come and get me grin. And like a bullet, we were gone again. 'Cause I was thinking about a little white tank top sitting right there in the middle by me. I was thinking about a long kiss, man. Just gotta get going where the night might be. I know what I was feeling. Yeah, I know what I was feeling. What was I thinking?
I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag.
You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across.
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
Well, you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we gonna put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back? Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds, and if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for The Shooting Bench, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on The Shooting Bench, and we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
The views expressed in the following broadcast are not necessarily those of Just Measures Radio or the owners or sponsors thereof. Any and all mention of laws, ordinances, or policies are not to be construed as legal advice or necessarily all-inclusive. The listener bears all responsibility in verifying this information. Be advised that this broadcast may be inflammatory to those with thin skin, limp wrists, and room temperature IQs. Furthermore, the statements expressed by the host may contain information known to the state of California to inspire free thinking and may promote unexpected growth of testicles and backbone. Listener discretion is advised.
All right, we finally made it. We had a little bit of trouble there. I'd ask welcome to the shooting bench, by the way. I'd ask Concretin if he could buy me a little time. I had a little had some what I thought was coyote problems out there, but evidently they were just passing through and didn't stop. But it is the 29th of September, one more day in this month already. It just started like 3 days ago, but. And it's Monday. I hope you guys had a good weekend. We had a great weekend. I'm telling you something my very thoughtful and wonderful and selfless wife did. She, I was talking to a buddy of mine over here that's got more chainsaws than I think he needs. And some might say that I have more Glocks than I think I need. And right now I was more in the market for a new chainsaw than for one of the 13, 14 Glocks that I have. So I was talking to her and I talked to him and I said, you know what? You need a Glock. I need a chainsaw. We need to sit down and talk here. So evidently she got wind of that somehow or another. And she went to this guy and she actually works over there and takes care of his horses and stuff. And so, unbeknownst to me, she's worked out this deal with him to work this chainsaw off and get it to me. And I didn't know this was going on. I kept talking to him, and I said, well, come on, I need to get this done. And, well, I'm busy. I can't make it over there. How about Monday, about 4:30 or so? So yesterday, Saturday she come in, and her and Kelly was sneaking off there somewhere, and kind of messed around. I didn't know what was going on, and I sat down up here, and I don't know, I'm working a crossword puzzle or doing something. Was I? Okay, yeah, I was eating dinner, Kelly said. And Amy comes and set this bag, one of these gift bags down in front of me, you know, these colored things. Hey, Roger, glad you can make it in. And so I looked in there, and about that time, Kelly set this 440 steel down on the floor there behind me. And I said, oh, now how'd you manage this? So anyway, I got to keep my Glock and got my chainsaw too. How awesome is that? How awesome is my wife right now? So anyway, let's see who all we got in here tonight. I see Roger's in. I don't see him too much anymore. I'm glad you made it in. Let's see here. Let me, Desert Rat, Queso, the Tinker Doc, Micro Carl. Glad to see you, man. It's been quite a while. Welcome. And Not Too Late, Mini, Northwest Heavy, Pumpkin Cat, Smoky Mountain Prepper. I don't know if I've seen you before, but welcome to the shooting bench. Anyway, a couple of anonymous in there. All right. Well, hang on here a minute. Desert Rat, you know, you're absolutely right. Yeah, you can't have too many Glocks, and I'm a firm believer in that. Roger, your chainsaw did not cost more than this Glock cost. I can promise you that. I don't believe they make a chainsaw that cost what these Glocks cost. So, let's see. Let me look down through here and catch up. Lots of this Ebola stuff going on here. My goodness. Okay, let's get on with it here. I had this is not a earth-shattering deal here, but it reminds me of a group of realtors one time had asked me to do a security deal for them on awareness and all this kind of stuff. And I thought, well, yeah, sure, I'll do it. That's what you're paying me for. And I didn't really put too much thought into it. Well, I guess I shouldn't actually say I hadn't thought about it much beforehand about the hazards of realtors. I'm going to tell you what. I did some research back. It was several years ago. I've done a couple of them since then. I did a little research on that. And some of these realtors, I think, don't realize how hazardous this job is. You do a little search for, real estate agent killed, kidnapped, raped, whatever the case may be. You do two or three searches on it. You'll come up with a whole bunch of results here. And I was just reminded of that again here in... This is Arkansas, it looks like, Pulaski County. Realtor's been reported missing after showing a home early Thursday evening. And she was reported missing by her husband, didn't return home after dark. And according to the sheriff's office there, Mr. Carter became worried. About 9 o'clock, went to the address of the home she was scheduled to show, and that's where he found her. Vehicle parked in the driveway, purse inside, the door of the home open, and he searched inside and found nothing. Or he found her vehicle parked, he didn't find her. And deputies searched the home, didn't find anything of it. So, evidently, unless there's been an update since I got this, she still hasn't been found. But her purse was in the car and everything, so it's unlikely that she just skipped out there. But it might be something to consider, especially if you're planning on getting into the real estate business or know somebody that is. You might mention some of these things to her. There was a real estate agent in... former president of a bank in Grants, New Mexico, and also a real estate agent. And he went out to show a house, was killed, never came back. There was another one that went out in the same area with a lady, and she was pregnant, and this lady killed her and cut her open with the car keys and took the baby. Now, nobody knows whether the baby lived or died or what. I don't think the woman was ever caught, is the best I remember. But there's a lot of stories out there, that lots and lots of stories like that. So I just thought I'd throw that in there. There's a retired Marine. You guys may have seen this story. This astounds me. It makes me furious. It puzzles me because I don't get what these people don't get. I don't understand. You know, I understand that covenants are, your things you sign when you go in these housing areas and stuff. These HOAs and whatnot, I understand that you have to play by their rules, but this retired Marine here has been forced. He got a letter from his homeowner association that ordered him to remove his Marine Corps decals from his car or be fined $50 a day or he would be towed. And evidently, these people have gotten a tremendous outpour of reaction from the family and the press and all that. CNN even jumped on, and it was the reporter from CNN was pretty hard on this guy. But this guy and his attorney showed up there with a CNN correspondent, and I'm going to play this video for you. There's not you're not going to miss too much by not seeing it, but I think you'll get the gist of everything. It's kind of long, but it'll go right on through the break here, but I think it'll be interesting to you. Let's hang on here, let me get this thing moving for you. My video stuff hasn't been working very well here. It's not working so well that I can't even hear it. Well, I'm not going to fight it all night. I don't know what's going on with it. So, sounds like the dogs are going crazy again. I may have coyotes out there after all. All right. Stand by just a minute. I'll return. Promise.
the cross, old dog tag, picture of when he was shipping out, so I showed it to him. So tell me about those days when he looked inside, he closed his eyes, all he could say was, I hear bagpipes crying, amazing bass, oh my heart beats in a crashing waves, oh glory drink like heaven's mercy over the fallen sun. I see all the heroes who were willing to fight in the name of freedom, laying down their lives, praying God's grace would keep us safe from harm till it brought us boys back. Giving all I can, 'cause I'm damn proud to be American. Yeah, I made some friends, and I've lost some too. When I think about what they gave for me and you, well, I hear bagpipes crying, amazing grace, tears rolling down the mother's face. Oh, glory, drink like heaven's mercy over the fallen sons. I see all the heroes who are willing to fight in the name of freedom, laying down their lives, praying God's grace will keep us safe from harm till they bring us boys back home.
All right, I'm back. Sorry for the little interruption there. Anyway, this homeowner association, the covenants that they signed there said that you can't have any stickers with any type of advertising or anything on there. And I don't think that a couple of stickers from the United States Marine Corps is exactly necessarily what I'd call advertising. And there's a difference between being proud of something and trying to recruit somebody into the military. I think what they're talking about is all the cars with the, you know, the Avon stickers and the, you know, whatever the case may be, Mary Kay and all that kind of stuff. And if you drive around the neighborhood, which this CNN reporter did, they went around and looked, and there were, it didn't say one sticker, two stickers, whatever. It just said stickers. And he's got a couple of them on there. And so they drove around, and they found, of course, some Obama stickers. Surprise. Imagine my surprise about that. And there was something for a football team, I believe it was, and some company there in their town, and just quite a few cars with stickers on them. And then they got to have the argument, well, you know, he's got more than one. Well, that wasn't an issue before now, but anyway, they went around and they found two or three cars there that had more than one sticker on it. For some reason, they were just singling out this old retired Marine. And this guy's story was, I don't know if any of you have read that, but his story was very touching. And she asked him, I kind of wish she'd just left him alone after she saw how emotional this was for him. He was having a hard time. But he was talking about how proud he was of being in the Marines and going through the war and all this kind of stuff. And just very simply, I think those people ought to be ashamed of themselves. I think that was entirely uncalled for. It ticks me off to no end. It was disrespectful, not only to this man, to the Marine Corps, to the country, to every patriot in the United States, in the world, as far as that goes. They've had these issues of people trying to get people to take down their flags and take off their stickers and not wear flags on their on their uniforms and have them on their cars. And what in the world is going on here? It drives me insane. But anyway, we'll let that one go. We're not going to take a break here at the bottom of the hour. It's late getting started and everything else, so we're just going to continue to march here to the top of the hour anyway. We talked quite a bit about the latest beheading in Oklahoma, and it prompted me to write up something here. I spent a good part of the weekend writing a thing that I put on Facebook, and actually it's on my blog. It'd probably be easier for you to find. But, hang on a minute. I got to wondering, and you guys have heard me say this I don't know how many times, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time with you on there, but I wrote something called I canceled my life insurance today. And what it is, as I've said many times, carrying a gun is no different than having insurance on yourself and in your cars and whatnot. You're not going to need it often, but if you ever do, you need it very badly. And I wrote this big long thing up here and put it on Facebook, but in my blog. And what gets me here is that there are people. Oklahoma is a pretty gun-friendly state, and to think that I'm guessing, I don't know what this company's policy is. I know that the guy that finally came along and stopped it had a weapon on him and a carry permit and all that. He was also the CEO or something there, I don't know whether he could do it and everybody else couldn't or what was going on. But I'm assuming that it was okay to carry a gun there. So in the video, I mean in the 911 call, you could hear a man made the call. And the people that you could hear in the background screaming and hollering and everything was a mixture of men and women both. So the guy that was on the phone obviously wasn't right immediately there, but there were several other people that were. And I can't help but wonder how it is that there can be that many people there and somebody, even some women. I mean, I see a lot of women not doing it. That's different. That's not your job, but I know that there are women that have that mentality. And that is, how did he have the time to saw somebody's head off with a knife and somebody not grab a chair or any one of a dozen other things laying around there, a briefcase? It's a food processing place. There's got to be some tools and stuff laying around. Somebody should have been able to distract this guy long enough to keep him from being successful in sawing somebody's head off. And in case of that, yeah, that may be the point. I mean, that may be the case, but I don't know. But I know that I carry when there's policies and rules against it. I won't risk a felony over it, but I will risk misdemeanors over it. And actually, I guess I will risk a felony. I have done it a few times. That I've talked to you about the 100 times about risk versus reward. If I think that there's a better chance that something will happen than the chance that I'll be caught if something does happen, then I will carry when it's illegal. But I try not to do that. But nevertheless, I don't care. There's high heel shoes and big pins and pocket knives and briefcases and chairs and purses and lamps and water bottles. And I mean, there's 100 things probably within 10 feet of any of these people, and there should have been someone there to respond to that instead of watching, screaming, hollering, trying to get out, and letting this guy cut that woman's head off. You know, and okay, so, you know, sadly, I think you're probably correct that courage is rare, but there's some people out there, there's some that just don't want to get involved, don't want to, you know, thinks it's none of their business, some that's just downright scared. But what about, it's not a matter to me of courage so much as it is anger. You can be, if a bear is running off with your child, are you going to run the other direction and call 911? Or are you going to run, jump in the middle of that bear and try to tear his bottom jaw off or poke his eyes out or something? Are you going to be scared? Well, of course. You stupid? Are you think I'm dumb? Yeah, you're going to be scared. But I just can't imagine that you would allow someone to do that unchecked. To tell you the difference, and I know I've told you this story before, but it's relevant right now. That is the guy in Farmington, New Mexico, Leroy Johnson, who was shot 7 times with a .45 ACP, put his eye out, and he survived it and got out of jail and come back and did the same thing again or something similar. Chased a woman, his girlfriend, into a building, into XTO Energy, which has a no-gun policy. And a lot of things went on. The receptionist there got so flustered she couldn't dial 911. And there were people there that were hollering and screaming and carrying on. But there was one sheepdog out of those people that took a chair and beat this guy off and held him off long enough for the sheriff's department to get there. Someone had gotten through on a cell phone. I don't think the receptionist ever did get through. But anyway, he did the job with the chair there long enough to get the guy captured there. So, who was it here? Smoky Mountain Prepper. I don't know how many vets there are here, but I'm one, and I can see, at least 2-3 that I know of for sure there. So, we've got a few, and there's quite a few people that's not on the chat room tonight. I don't know where they're at. We've got quite a few vets here. But anyway, Doc, is Doc taking off already? All right, well, maybe they're having sound problems there. I don't know what's going on with the internet. Everything seems to be see if I need to close anything out here. What's going on exactly? Looks like everything is good on my end, so I don't know what's causing the problems tonight. I'm sorry about that. But anyway. well, but after this, I don't know if you guys have heard of, well, before I start that, I wrote this thing about the carrying a gun everywhere you go, and I stressed in excruciating detail everywhere, all the time, just no exceptions unless it's, you know, not legal for you to own one or to have one in some places. But even if, for those of us that may once in a while choose not to carry because we don't want to risk a felony, we still are able to take our mindset with us. And the majority of people that have the mindset to use that gun would probably have the mindset to use a letter opener or just, you know, if there's 16 women in there and they all piled on this guy and got to kicking and gouging and poking his eyes out and pulling his hair and ripping his lips off and everything, I mean, damn, you don't need a gun. That's not this, the gun is not it, it's the fastest, quickest, safest, surest, most certain way to end a problem like that, but it's not the only way. When you have that mindset, you can still take care of business if you must. It just may be a little bit more risky, but I can't imagine if all of these women piled on top of it. This was one of their co-workers, for crying out loud, that was getting her head sawed off. And they all chose to scream and pile out the door. And that's just beyond me. But, you know, we remember the shooting down in in Tucson when Gabby Giffords got shot. That wasn't your internet. That was me. There was one guy in the crowd there that even admitted later that he had a weapon and had a concealed carry permit and was in there, but elected not to shoot because he was afraid he would be mistaken for the shooter and get in trouble. So his man card has been revoked, and so should his concealed carry permit, and he needs to just give up his guns and give them to somebody that has the mindset and the huevos and the testicular fortitude to take care of those things. So anyway, let's see. Let me cruise down through here real quick. I haven't been looking at my chat room here. Smoky Mountain Prepper says he thinks Survival Blog got hacked. That's not unusual. They get attacked pretty regular over there. I've been trying to get Jim to come on the show here, and I'll tell you, that guy is the busiest man that I know. He takes time out for family when he can, but he won't do it. He won't get into that kind of time for doing interviews and stuff like that. When he has the time, he will, and he's very gracious about it. He's a good speaker and he's very knowledgeable, but he just don't. But Queso, I would risk myself for a Democrat. It's not, that's between them and God what their issues are, but they're still a human being, and as bad as I despise them, unless they do something personally to me, then I would put the same effort into saving them as I would anybody else. I wouldn't necessarily like it, but I would. Let's see here. Okay, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Jan Morgan or not. Jan Morgan is a drop-dead, absolutely stunningly gorgeous woman that carries a gun and teaches concealed carry classes and actually runs a range called the Gun Cave Indoor Shooting Range in Hot Springs, Arkansas. And, man, is this woman something to look at. Well, Jan Morgan, besides for being all that, is a incredibly staunch conservative. And she will undoubtedly be sued over this. She says she don't care. They have declared their range a Muslim-free zone due to concerns over domestic Islamic terrorism. The ban was announced yesterday by range owner Jan Morgan in an article posted to her website, where she cites 10 points justifying her position. Among these points are the prior attacks in the United States that the federal government refuses to classify as terrorism, including Fort Hood, the Boston Marathon bombing, last week's Oklahoma City beheading. She's also received death threats in the past for her writings about Islam. Another incident that weighed heavily into her decision to do this is an incident at her firing range several weeks ago, where She had two Muslim men who spoke only broken English, came to her range and requested to rent semi-automatic firearms and ammunition. One of them could not produce any identification, showing that he was in the country legally, and the other had a California driver's license. Neither had any apparent firearms training. She allowed them to rent one firearm and stood behind them the entire time they were on the range, her hand on or near her holstered Glock 19. All the other patrons voluntarily vacated the firing line while they were shooting. She brings up a very valid point that gun stores and ranges have both a legal and moral obligation to ensure the safety of their patrons. Because of this, they may refuse service to anyone they deem to be under the influence, mentally unstable, or otherwise potential threat to themselves or others. FFLs are afforded a great deal of latitude in this regard, as the federal government would rather err on the side of caution. While FFLs and range operators have a great deal of latitude in their business dealings, it is doubtful that a blanket ban based upon religion is remotely viable on First Amendment grounds. This is no more legally viable than a ban on Baptists or Catholics. You can refuse service to anyone. It's not a First Amendment issue. The First Amendment protects you from the government, not from an individual. I've said that 100 times. But she expects she'll be sued over the decision and is gearing up for a court battle. She claims that so far she's received support from all 50 states and very little criticism. Another supporter here is a guy that runs Gun Nuts Media, is strongly against her decision. He said, "Here's an important point. Yes, there are terrorists. There are quite a few terrorists who are followers of this or that sect of radical Islam. Those are bad people, but the Second Amendment isn't for those people. The Second Amendment is for Americans, all Americans, regardless of race, religion, sex, or creed. Last time I checked, the important text of the Second Amendment didn't say the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed unless you're black, Muslim, or gay. I'm a hard time talking here. Anyway, he went on to talk about freedom and all this, and this is an issue that is involving a whole lot of people. And Michael Carl said he saw the picture. I'm going to post her picture in here for those of you that may not have seen it. I can't see if that posted or not, so guys, let me know if that... let me try it again. Well, I don't see him there. Okay, looks like just the link posted and not the deal. Anyway, click on the link. That'll be good enough. But this is bringing a lot of us at odds here. A lot of us that are, strong conservatives, constitutionalists. And you get to this point. I was talking to a guy here this morning. We're actually putting on we're designing a 6-day long close protection class. And he said he was in doing that very thing in Iraq and Afghanistan and Iran and several places over. And he said one of the things that he felt kept him alive, and it goes on his team, was the fact that he did use what he called discernment. He said people call it stereotyping or whatever. But he said there were some that you just had that feeling about, and it was because of how they carried themselves, how they looked, how they moved their hands, how they moved their eyes, and different things. And he said, you know, it may have not have been the right thing to do, but I think it kept me alive. He said there were some guys over there that just believed that everybody, and that's one of the things that got Blackwater in trouble several times, they just thought everybody was the enemy and just shot indiscriminately sometimes, and he was trying to avoid that and stay alive at the same time. So kind of drifting off of the main point there, but Jan Morgan is not the first one to do something like that. If you remember, there was a guy in Texas here, it was Kelly's something another, that put out a radio ad talking about his concealed carry class. He says, if you are Muslim and whatever, a couple of conditions there, he said, don't bother. He said, I'm not teaching you. Don't come in here. And it made a pretty big splash. It was a big deal on the internet there for a while, on YouTube and stuff. So I think that for me personally, it's one of those, man, it's a tough call, because there are, I'm told, I have met a few Muslims. I have no reason to believe that any of them that I have met were anything other than, you know, nice people of a kind of a weird faith. But you hear so many stories of these people that have been, you know, in the military, have been, you know, even converted. Well, no, I won't go so far as to say that. But they, at some, now whether it's because they got involved with the wrong people or whether this was planned all along. I mean, look at Major Hassan. How long was he in the United States Army to become a major and then take off and go off like that? And it's not just because he went crazy and it was workplace violence. You know, since then he's said that, I do remember those stories, many, and I've thought about that. Hassan didn't want to shave his face, and it was going back to some of his Islamic ways there. So it seems to me that he was put in there or put himself in there and played by the rules for a certain amount of time until he either, you know, worked up the nerve or got to a certain point or heard from someone that was in charge of him, a handler, so to speak, like the CIA and whatnot. So I don't know. I don't know what the right answer is. It's hard call, because you sure don't, or I don't anyway, I do not want to have any part of injuring or killing someone that doesn't justly deserve it. And I know there's a bunch of them out there that very richly deserve that, but I don't want any part of doing it because I am concerned about my salvation, and I would rather err towards the side of, you know, I would not risk getting anybody innocent, or, you know, my kids or anything like that, of course. But when it comes to making that decision, I want to make damn sure that, or as sure as is reasonably possible, that I'm right when that happens. The trying to read what Michael Carl's put on here. And, you know, I've heard that. I've heard that a lot, that they will all comply if they're forced to. I don't know. I've heard it a lot. I've heard both ways. But I know that there's this guy that is doing this class with me. Lived over there with those people for quite a few years. He has a great many friends over there that he still stays in contact with. He stays in contact with the prime minister of a couple of countries over there. I mean, this guy is definitely the real deal, and has spent a lot of time over there. Started out his career in this stuff in Rangers, and things progressed over the time, he wound up being with Blackwater and then into another deal after that. So anyway, I think, number one, I think this is going to be a great class when we get it all put together. But number two, I very much believe everything that that he tells me and the things that he's done and all that. So and you know, and in micro Carl, you know, deep down inside me, the one thing that keeps coming up, keeps nagging in there, is that if you eradicate all of them, then there won't be any problem anymore. So we'll just have to play that by ear when the time comes. But anyway, with this Jan Morgan has really put her career and quite possibly her life on the line here for denying access to a whole group of people because of their religion. So we'll and I've met another guy who is a I'm not sure what group he's with, but he is a high speed low drag ninja operator here from and as far as I know, I believe he's still in the military. I'm not sure. But he swears as much time as he spent over there, he swears and be damned that there's people over there that think and act just like us and that are very much peaceful, loving people and all that. And like I said, the only ones I've met have been you know, engineers and stuff like that. So, you know, I don't know. I don't have any idea. But anyway, I think what we'll do here is take a break and get our thoughts together here a little bit and come back here and continue to march. So let's see what I've got a good little deal. Well, I can't find it now. Well, I don't care. I'm just going to play this just like it is. So I'll be back.
And all you can do is laugh at her. Doesn't anybody know how to pray? Arizona, take off your rainbow shades. Arizona, have another look at the world on my
Criminals prefer an unarmed public. Our nation's worst crime statistics and most horrific recent events have taken place in areas that are known to be no-carry zones for law-abiding citizens. There's a reason schools make such good targets for gun violence. Only the criminal will be armed.
Thompson! They want to take my guns away.
And I had to chuckle because then I noticed you had Mr. Brady up here who was hit not with an assault weapon but with a .22 caliber revolver. So getting beyond that.
It's about the weapons, the guns. Where did the killer get them?
They're shocked at how easy it is to purchase a gun.
It is simply too easy to obtain a firearm.
While the gun is considered an instrument of war by many, to me, it is clearly an instrument of peace and of liberty. The gun promotes peace in the hands of peaceful people. The gun has no mind of its own, it has no morals, and it has no conscience. In the same moment that the gun takes a life, it can be saving one and not be able to distinguish the difference. The gun and its use, for good or for evil, is solely at the discretion of its bearer.
It took me a good 45 seconds to realize that this man wasn't there to commit a robbery. He wasn't there for a hit. He was there to simply shoot as many people as he possibly could.
Gun levels the playing field when confronted by larger men, armed men, multiple attackers, and tyrannical governments. The right of self-preservation, the right to possess that gun, was afforded me by my maker and is non-negotiable. It is not up for consideration or discussion by any man or group of men on this earth. The right to bear arms is what protects my other rights, and considering the source of that right, it cannot and will not be taken away or disguised as some watered-down compromise. few rights that man is born with, and it has been that way since the dawn of time. The Constitution of the United States enumerates those rights for us, and the protection that it affords us is comforting. However, the Constitution has been ignored, gagged, whisked away to an office full of men that have taken pleasure in violating her, leaving her torn and bleeding, unable to help herself. People that were appointed stewards over her have been neglectful. They have been lured into complacency and have inadvertently turned a blind eye towards this criminal act. We, the people, have been distracted. We were promised safety and protection by the very men that have perpetrated this vile deed. Without the support and protection of free men, dedicated, patriotic Americans, the Constitution is truly nothing more than a piece of paper.
Remember real clear years ago in the swamps of South Georgia, cane pole and crossman in my hands, all I needed to be growed up. Homemade ice cream and barbecue and the family on Friday nights. 10-lane Ram on Saturday right before the morning light. Came a time I was old enough and I learned about the gun. And every night at supper time I answer to what I'd done. Hooks today, blood forgot about the way it used to be. They got no respect and no cold steel, just games on TV. I burn in hell before I sell my rights away from me. It's high time we embrace the tool that keeps all men free.
We have a message for those that would take our guns away, whomever they may be, from whatever country, whatever unconstitutional faction they may belong to. Please understand that we have had everything taken from us that we are willing to surrender. Some of us have been shooting since before many of you were born. Many of us were trained by the same people that trained you. And some of us, through years of experience, know tricks that they haven't taught you yet. Think of your families and your future with them as we have done. We have decided that our future and that of our children cannot and will not be without freedom. We are willing to die to defend those God-given rights if need be. The question that each of you must ask yourselves, are you willing to die to take them away?
From Hillary Clinton, from Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, from a whole gaggle of numbnuts who would try to tell me they will dictate where, how, and if I can defend myself. I find that preposterous. I find it unacceptable, and I will not accept it. I am a free man. Don't tread on me.
Stopped to make their play, and the swiftness of the Ranger is still talked about today. Texas red and not cleared leather for a bullet fairly ripped, and the Ranger's aim was deadly with the big iron on his hip, big iron on his hip.
All right, we're back. Get off. Well, I can't get off completely off that subject because we still got stuff going on here. We had the there was another Muslim in Oklahoma also, and this was what I was afraid of. This is what I talked about in that deal that I wrote yesterday or Saturday, and that is the copycats. What I'm worried about is a lot of people coming in for, whether it's beheadings, rapes, murders, kidnappings, whatever. I had to wonder about a couple of things I saw in the news, and I'm not even going to tell what they are or what I'm talking about yet until I get a little more information on them. But I had wondered if these things happened if we're starting to see a lot of copycat activity here. This was the same day as the beheading in Oklahoma, but this was another man. His name was Jacob Murithy or something like that, was fired from the Bellevue nursing home for threatening a co-worker that he said he represented ISIS and that ISIS kills Christians, saying that he would cut her head off. And so whether these are, I guess it's yet to be seen if these people are, if there's a concerted effort around the country and all these people are listening to their handlers or whatever, or if these are copycats. They're saying, all right, it started. This guy did it. I'm wondering if we as patriots would ever do the same thing. Not that we're going to cut anybody's head off or anything, but if the revolution was to ever get underway, will there be a event somewhere, and then another one, and then two more, and then a couple on each side of the country, and it just grows and grows until it turns into a full-scale deal? And I kind of wonder if these guys are doing the same thing. But this happened on the same day. It's most unusual to me that they would try to that there would be two beheadings in the same area, the one in Oklahoma City and one in Moore, Oklahoma. You just don't find that many beheadings happening in the United States. So, you know, it's getting uglier, and I think that there's some things that people should consider. I think that there was some mention of them doing lone wolf stuff, but like the guy said on TV, how did he put it? He said there's no more lone wolf than what did he say? One than one bacteria in a whole swimming pool of I don't know what it was, but anyway, it was something like that. He said there is no lone wolf. He said this is all a concerted effort, and they're all working towards the same goal, and it's not a lone wolf. Would seem to me like the definition would be more like a guy, okay, I have decided myself, I am going to go out and attack Christians. I'm going to go out and attack nuns. I'm going to do whatever. Doesn't answer to anybody. Doesn't have anybody guiding him, anybody directing him. He is all by himself and is a lone wolf. And I think that these guys are very much all part of one machine. And I don't, even though they're doing this individually, I don't think it's what you'd actually call a lone wolf, is what this guy was trying to get across too. The barn burner, that's probably BB burner, I'm guessing. But I know we've covered this already, but can anyone tell me why they do not produce a lever action chambered for rimless cartridges like the 9mm and 40? You know, that would be a pretty neat deal, but I would imagine that there'd be some feeding problems, and it could probably be done. I don't know if there would be enough call for something like that. I would jump on one. Man, I would be all over a 40 caliber 1894 Marlin. But there's not anything out there rimless in a lever action that doesn't headspace on the shoulder that I know of. So I don't know what their reasoning is for that exactly. I think it would be very difficult and costly, and whether there'd be enough call for it to make it worthwhile or not, I don't know. But they could sure as hell put me down for one. I would jump all over that. But anyway, let's get back to our discussion here. Roger, you know, there's a lot of things that have happened, even leading up to this beheading. He said, I've seen what I would consider normal, reserved people talking about certain population reductions in open conversations. There's a lot of conversations going on right now amongst people that would have 6 months or a year ago, I would have said, no way. There is no way that person is going to ever consider buying a gun, or ever consider joining the militia, or ever consider spending any extra time, money, or effort preparing for a poop hit the fan type scenario. But people are waking up. They are. Not fast enough. There's a lot of people still sound asleep. But, people are waking up. I agree with you 100%. I know there are some that are coming alive and talking about things that have never been. I'm seeing things in church people that don't normally discuss this kind of thing that are still not as open with it as I am, and that most of you are, but they're still talking about it. So, let's see. Let me go down through here and look and see what's going on in the chat room. I've let it get away from me there. The 007, good to see you in here. He said you sold a 22-year-old and buying a Glock instead of an Xbox. Outstanding. That's a good deal. Good idea. And Queso's got a point. They do seem a little bit emboldened here over the last little while. So we'll see what happens. And I don't think we'll, I guess it's been a relative thing all along. You know, we see what happens. It won't be long now. Yeah, we keep hearing that. But as it's getting closer, I stand by everything that I've ever said. It is relative when you look at the overall scheme of things for the last 100 years. When it gets down to, at one time we used to say, it's not going to be long now. It's going to be another 5-10 years, something like that. I remember when I was in Houston, Texas, back in 77, 78. I guessed then that we're probably looking at 20 years. And so it's way past that 20 years. But I wouldn't say 20 years now. I wouldn't give you a nickel for it being 20 months, maybe even 20 weeks, the way things are going right now. We may see things explode just overnight here, just any time. There's been a lot of cry wolf here I wouldn't call it crying wolf. We're not intentionally saying things that are untrue and trying to convince people things. We're just, we don't know for sure when it's going to happen any more than anybody else does. But I know that there's a lot of us right now that are getting that feeling in our gut saying, oh man, I need to look and see. I need to make sure that everything's in place, because I just think we're going to get up here and be out of time. So anyway, I said this once before. Hold on here just a second. That's Amy just drove up here. And I hate to say it again, but maybe I'll rephrase it a little bit, and I'll say, I sure hope that everything holds out and that we actually get to have another election. I know that I have probably more, I don't know if it's more jokingly or not, but and I've heard a lot of other people say it, I just wish we'd just go ahead and get on with it. I mean, You know, they just keep on, they're taking more and more stuff away from us, and every day it gets worse. Every week that goes by, we lose more of our rights and our money in taxes, and our kids are not being taught right in schools, and we got cops that's beating the hell out of us and killing people. I got a story about that here, and a couple of stories. So that's a good point. Bundy Ranch and what's going on down the border right now, absolutely that wouldn't have happened before. There's a lot of things that are happening right now that's really setting some records here. So anyway, yeah, there's a lot of people that have woken up, just not nearly enough of them. Not enough to make a difference here yet. But here is... Hang on a minute, let me get this opened up here. I should have done this a little bit earlier. It takes a little while. I don't know what the heck. I think I'm getting too much stuff on this. Laptop here, and it's killing me. In Pittsburgh, we just talked about the cops that are doing things they ought not to be doing. In Pittsburgh, they ought not to have done this to this guy. There was a guy there, excuse me, he was in the process of praying, grieving for his dead son, stepson, her son, his stepson, and the cops, now what the cops were doing there to start with is kind of unclear. This guy's son, this he was shot and killed that day while he was trying to break up a fight, and this pastor said I needed this guy's dad said I needed to tell him that his family is going to be okay. I was going to do everything I could to make sure they were okay. And then they show this the police restraining this guy for a few seconds before another cop pulls out his taser and uses it on him. And the mother was stopped from going by authorities, not being allowed to even enter the hospital. So they've got a lawsuit going on there. The cops haven't commented on it yet. But the hospital officials have said that the dad was interfering with attempts to revive the kid. And let's see. Baldwin argues that the police slid Grissom's, that was the son, the stepson, hospital bed away before restraining him. Now, if you watch in this video, the guy was already dead because his head was covered up with a sheet. So, usually once they cover the head up with a sheet, all the reviving's pretty much done with. The attorney says not only was the child not being treated, the child was already dead. So, there you go. Lots of this stuff going on right now. We've got another one. Let's see. Oh, no, this is the deal. I think I told you this the other night. I don't remember. There's been a couple people shot in Ferguson. One of them was a police officer. That riot continues to go on. We don't hear much about it. There's not hardly anything in the news. A cop got shot. There was a little bit on it. But largely, even though it's still pretty violent and pretty active there, we're not hearing that stuff too much anymore. So, let's see. Old News. I don't know who you are or where you came from. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. Somebody help Old News out there. I don't know what the 64K's problem is tonight. Let me double check here and see if I can see anything. It seems to be running smoothly. It's not skipping, so I'm not sure what the problem is here. The numbers are running just as fast as they can go and not skipping, but somebody give Somebody give old news a little help there. Don't want him to get frustrated and not ever come back here. 64. And quite possibly this is not anybody's fault, but Voscast. We've had a lot of Voscast problems here for the last month or so, it seems like, quite a bit. We finally got our internet straightened up, and everything's been doing fine for us, I think, except for, what was it, Friday night, Thursday night? I think we had a little problems, but anyway. Okay. Hold on a minute. Oh, remember the argument I got in with the guy the other day about whether this was domestic terrorism or just terrorism, not necessarily domestic terrorism, but terrorism or workplace violence. And some of us just had it pegged from the start. I mean, how could you not? There's a former FBI agent that's got on there and said, you know, whoever said that ought to be fired. How could you consider this to be just plain old workplace violence? When you start cutting people's heads off, the typical, or maybe I should say stereotypical, handle of workplace violence goes right out the window. This is way beyond that. Workplace violence, I personally just don't consider it the same thing when somebody comes in with a gun and starts blazing away, or even a knife and stabbing people. But to take the time, the effort that it takes, and the cold, calculated, purposeful, you know, you don't just whack somebody's head off. You know, that's hard enough to do with a machete, much less a smaller knife. And for somebody that hasn't done it before and is not experienced in that, even experienced in butchering animals, it's not that easy just to whip off a head. So when that happens to me, it just automatically becomes a terrorism issue. Well, I won the argument because it was just like the next day that we find out, maybe it was 2 days after that, we find out that the beheader was linked to Al-Qaeda, this Al-Awlaki, and also to the mosque in Boston. So there's quite a number of links here that links this guy, Alton Nolan from Oklahoma, that links him to Al-Qaeda. So I win. This guy that I was arguing with was one of damn few people out there. Actually, he was the only one that I actually personally talked to. But you know, there was a few arguing about it a little bit on the television, on the news. But it seemed to me right from the beginning, the day that it happened, you know, within the first 5 minutes, it seemed clear to me. Maybe I was jumping the gun. Maybe I was just paranoid about the ISIS and everything. But it just seemed pretty clear to me that that's what it was. Anyway, one more deal here, and we'll take a little break. My loving chainsaw buying wife just made it home, so. Oh yeah. Yeah, they know the story. They know how awesome you are. Is it raining out there?
No, but it's freezing.
Oh, freezing, huh?
45 degrees.
Wow. Yeah. Hey, Amy says it's 45 degrees outside right now. So it's cooling off nicely. Speaking of offending Muslims. Hang on a minute.
I actually have my heater on
coming
home. First time.
Oh, Amy had her heater on coming home from town. Yeah, it is a little chilly since we've been used to our 70-degree nights here. Let's see. You know, Roger, you got it right there again. It on the one hand, you know, when people sue the cops and everybody says, oh, they should sue them for everything they're worth. Yeah, it's true. They probably should, and they probably should win. But, you know, unless you sue the cops personally and not the department, it's the taxpayers that pay. So, Let's see right here. 007 has a confession to make. Mike Savage podcast mirrors mine, and he quoted 2 weeks ago that there will be another workplace violence, and he was spot on. Yeah. Okay, I don't listen to Michael Savage much anymore since his ridiculous liberal anti-gun comment he made a few years ago. That was the last time I listened to him. Anyway, here's another family thrown off the bus, kicked off the bus because they were singing a nursery rhyme to their baby. You may have heard this. This little piggy went to market, and this little piggy said, wee, wee, and this little piggy got his family thrown off a city bus. They're throwing infidels off the bus now because their rhymes are offensive and racist. Couples claiming they were accused of singing anti-Muslim racism and thrown off a bus. Now, I didn't know Muslim was a race. Why is this racism? Because they're anti-Muslim. Or why was there this little piggy thing, anti-Muslim, I don't know. Thrown off the bus for singing a nursery rhyme about a pig to their autistic baby daughter. They were singing the Peppa Pig theme song and imitating the character in an effort to calm their crying 15-month-old while returning from a hospital visit. This was in England, which is getting more than their share of Muslims there. According to the couple, a woman complained to the driver that their behavior was clearly a racist reference to the fact that Muslims can't eat pork. So here this Muslim doesn't even know that she's not of the Muslim race. I could have sworn that Muslim was a religion or a sect or a cult or whatever, but not a race. She was saying, you're irresponsible parents teaching your child to be racist. How can you teach a 15-month-old baby to be racist by singing a nursery rhyme to him? She said, you shouldn't be singing that to your daughter. It's a song about pigs and it's racist. Oh, shut up. Good Lord. They said the driver then ordered them to leave the bus, even though they were still 2 miles away from home, got a 15-month-old baby, and they said, get off the bus. The family tried to get onto another bus. He said the driver immediately told him to leave. The driver from the other bus had obviously radioed out to other buses and told him not to let us on. It took the family more than 2 hours to walk home. Footage of the incident depicts a woman talking to the couple and the driver, as well as the couple leaving the bus. So they got proof of it. Spokesperson for the bus company said first that the driver has denied the racism accusations were a factor in the incident. The company is still investigating. Oh, jeez. I'm going to have to go take a anti-blood pressure pill here. Something's got to happen.
I just hate stupid people.
Now you listen to me. Who the hell are you? You know. You all know exactly who I am. Say my name.
Do what? I don't have a damn clue who the hell you are.
Yeah, you do.
That's right.
Now, say my name.
John Galt on the Teotihuacan Radio Show, live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Just Measures Radio Network.
Join me in the Tinker's Shop Saturday evening at 9 p.m. on JMR. Remember, we all are library for those who come after us.
Join us every Sunday for the Medic Shack.
The Emperor has been expecting you.
With your host, Chuck Hudson.
You know what the chain of command is? It's a chain I go get and beat you with till you understand who's in command.
Cat Ellis.
You're having far too much fun at my expense.
And our producer, Jacob Hudson.
Who is this genius?
Sundays, 7 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, on the Just Measure Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Coke Reynolds, inviting you to join me for the Shooting Bench PM, the evening edition. Shooting Bench PM is your source for all things guns. Guns, hunting, reloading, firearms training, competition, and a host of other firearms-related topics.
Look out, bushy tail, tonight you'll be in the pot. Gun Boogie draws a beat so fine. Look out, big boy, he's loaded all the time.
The Shooting Bench PM does not include news or politics unless it is directly related to your gun rights. Thursday evenings from 9 to 11 p.m. Mountain Time right here on Just Measures Radio Network.
I'll be back, little gal, when your pappy runs out of shells.
It was over in a moment and the folks had gathered round. There before them lay the body of the outlaw on the ground. Oh, he might have went on living, but he made one fatal slip when he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. Big iron, big iron.
All right, let's get back here and finish this thing up. The 007, it looks to me like you're going to Brady, Texas at some point. If you do, one of the first things that you'll encounter when you come in from the south side, if it's still there and still open, will be the Ranchlander restaurant. Ranchlander nightclub, Ranchlander something. It's on the right-hand side as soon as you get in town. I don't know how much Brady has grown since then. But if you get a chance, go check that out. And just in the off chance that there's still an old black gentleman there with a little trailer house, probably an 8x16 or something like that, little camp trailer. Be sitting in the parking lot, one of the dirt parking lots when you get in there, hooked up to his old Suburban, and you'll experience the very best barbecue that mankind has ever had the opportunity to partake of. That old boy could cook some barbecue. Man, he was good. So if you're going into Brady, then go check that out. Anyway, we got a few more things here we need to take care of before time here. Let's see. Snyder, Texas. I got some stories about Snyder, too. Fort Stockton. I got some good stories about Fort Stockton. That's I could spend a little time talking about Fort Stockton. Anyway, in Gallen, California, has stood up for her beliefs and complained on video to a neighbor flying the Mexican flag. Her name's Tressie Capps. upset over seeing the foreign flag in her neighbor's yard, recorded the exchange she had with him, posted it on YouTube about him flying the Mexican flag in their front yard. She said, "You know we live in America, right? This is the United States, so why are you flying a Mexican flag in your front yard?" She confronted the woman a third time after not getting a reply and said, "This is America. Maybe you can move to Mexico if you want to fly your Mexican flag. Does that make sense to you?" She said the Mexican flag offends her, which is why she said something. Well, saying something caused Coldwell Banker to fire her. She was had an independent contract with them, and she said, "We do not tolerate discrimination of any kind." What Coldwell Banker said. And by the way, I can get you a link here if you'd like to email Mr. David Cerotti and express your feelings about this. There's his email right there if you want to tell him what you think about it. Let's see here. Where's my story go? Here we go. Anyway, this lady just doesn't realize, I guess, where she's living now. But you remember when the had the American flag flying upside down under the Mexican flag in Montebello High School in 2007? We talked about that back when I was still on AM radio. And then there was another one where a guy, very bold and pissed off patriot, walked up in front of a bunch of Mexicans there and cut their flag down, cut it down, threw it down on the sidewalk. That was a great story. Good video on it. Okay, let's go on here. You guys might have seen this on the news. There was a cop here had told this kid to show him his ID. Now, I like the way this one is ending, although it's too bad that this kid died. He asked for his ID over a seatbelt infraction of the law. Said he reached for his license in his car, and the guy, he didn't die. I'm sorry, he didn't die. He just wounded him. But he fired on him, shot him in the hip. And again, the kid said, "What did I do, sir?" He said, "I just grabbed my license." The trooper says that he shot him because he dove head first into his vehicle. So what if he did? Even if that were the truth, what difference does it make if he did dive head first into the vehicle? It takes a little while to get in, get scooted around, and get down where you can... And you're going to shoot somebody over a seatbelt infraction, even if he does run. So what? Send him a ticket in the mail. Big deal. But this cop is potentially facing 20 years in prison. And I hope he gets every damn minute of it, too. He's facing assault and battery of a high and aggravated nature charge, which could carry 20 years in prison. And I think with all the other stuff going on, they said they didn't waste a lot of time because of the public stewing and brewing over this situation. When they showed this on TV, the outrage was instantaneous and immense. And there was a lot of it, and it was right now. They said his defense attorney said there's more than one way to interpret the video and told the judge Wednesday his client is not guilty and was justified in shooting Jones, who was reaching for his license. How are you justified for shooting anybody whether he's reaching for his license or not over a seatbelt infraction? Not wearing your seatbelt, guy, you better wear your seatbelt so you'll be safer. I'll kill you. How stupid is that? Unbelievable. He served this lawyer as sued as fifth. Oh, the judge served as the fifth judicial circuit solicitor. Wow, for the past 16 years said Jones reached for his license aggressively. If you reach for your license, you better do it nice. And Kahn said he thought he was reaching for a gun. Really? I'm going to dive in head first in a car and get a gun because you're going to give me a ticket for a seatbelt? No. No, that's not the way it works. Oh, jeez. You know, you guys may have seen a movie. What was it? It was, Eye of the Tiger. Eye of the Tiger, and I think it was, not Nick Nolte, it was, I can't remember the star's name. But anyway, during that show, and there's been a couple of other movies out there where someone was ticked off at motorcycle or bicycle riders somewhere and stretched a wire across the road. In that movie, Eye of the Tiger, well, it this guy comes screaming by on his motorcycle, and that wire that he had stretched across the road cut his head right slap off and went bouncing. It rolled quite a while being in that helmet. And so anyway, this, and it's not in the movie, it was funny, and the people that he did it to absolutely deserved it, and I have no problem with that. But this kid here was on his way home, or on his way to the park, teenager, took a shortcut and was knocked to the ground, and his throat was cut. Now, it didn't kill him. He's got a very, very deep, ugly, forevermore lasting scar on his neck. It cut it deep, deep. But fortunately, there was a neighbor there that used a thin piece of rope to block off a common area behind his home. He said a rope that residents around the area said it was put there to keep kids out. So he's riding his bicycle down the hill and hit that rope. He said, I felt a pull on my neck because I think I knew that there was going to be a rope on the floor, but I didn't know it was going to be up on the fence. And said it cut his neck, knocked him out. Said he blacked out for a little bit, and then I screamed. I was like, Mom, Mom. I don't know what to, I didn't know what I did after that. But anyway, he survived, so I don't know. Let's see. It didn't say what, if anything, is going to happen here. It said, by the time I got over there towards the hill, I saw him make his way up holding his neck. I saw blood coming out of his mouth. And that's when she was saying, dial 911. Blood was coming out of his mouth, and his throat was cut pretty deep. But they asked the news outfit, asked the neighbor that put up the rope for comment, and they were asked to leave the property. They said police report was filed against the neighbor accused of tying the rope behind the homes. And the state's attorney's office spokesman said no charges have been filed, but they are reviewing the case. You know, there's been people sued for a whole lot less than that. I don't know what, if it's in a place that is accessible, and even if it's on your property, if there's not a fence or something to keep people out, you know, I think that they've got a good case. Now, whether I think it's necessarily the right thing to do or not, I'd have to ponder on it a little bit. But nevertheless, I think they have a pretty rock solid case there. Anyway, I think that if they do sue him, that he'll probably, or charge him even, that he'll most likely lose. There's been people sued and charged and thrown in jail for a whole lot dumber things than that. You know, the Tinker, I don't know if it sounds funny when you say it in the chat room. I don't know if that would piss somebody off bad enough to make them shoot you or not. He says that's why he's been stopped in the past. He said out loud, try not to shoot me. I'm getting my license out of my pouch. You know, but that's the truth. It's the God's honest truth. What do you do now? You have to be so very intentionally slow and deliberate in getting your license that I don't know, this whole thing has just turned into a damn train wreck. And you know, a while ago I said, and I feel bad about saying it sometimes, but you know, if there's going to be a collapse, and there's going to be, if we're going to restart this thing, reboot the whole society here, I'm not so sure that, you know, for all the devastation and despair and strife and stuff that there's going to be, it seems to me that we may get over that faster than we're going to get over it the way we're going now. I don't know. I've got to the point where I'm saying that a lot lately. I don't know. Well, now, I think I'm going to start doing a segment of the show. I'm going to take like 15 minutes, maybe 30 minutes, probably an hour of all the stories we get, and just do stupid people, I need to do one on stupid people. I need to do another one on stupid administration, stupid cop stuff, stupid lawyers. This is a stupid story. In West Glacier, Montana, in Glacier Park, a man there is facing charges after surviving a bear attack. 57-year-old guy from Texas faces a federal misdemeanor charge of discharging a firearm in a national park after he reported shooting a charging bear with his .357 revolver. Number one, I wouldn't go to Glacier National Park with nothing but a .357. But anyway, it seemed to work for this guy. His attorney scheduled to plead not guilty. Now, he's had to go get an attorney. It's going to cost money. After this court hearing, Murphy's scheduled to appear via video. Charging documents say that Murphy was hiking in the park when a grizzly bear charged him. He told rangers he discharged bear spray and fired a shot when the bear continued toward him. The wounded bear fled and could not be located. It's legal to carry a gun in Glacier National Park, but it is illegal to discharge it. Conviction carries a $500 fine. I've got to applaud this guy for going and getting a $10,000 lawyer to fight a $500 fine. And I hope to hell that he wins. Gets, you know, recoup some of his money back out of there. But how dumb is that story? Jeez, I swear. Anyway, well, I'm gonna start winding it down here. We've got as I told you earlier, we got a 6-day close protection class coming up, and it's going to be either probably the second week of December or the second week of January, somewhere right in that area. We haven't nailed down a date yet. It's going to be an awesome class. It's not going to be a cheap class. Everybody that takes the class will be required to stay on site because of some of the things that we'll be doing. And your lodging and meals, everything is paid for except your personal equipment and your ammo. Everything comes with the price of the class. And that's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a neat, neat class. We're probably going to wind up doing two different ones. We're going to do one that is based more on domestic executive protection. And the other one will be more of for those that are seeking overseas contracts. And we'll see how the first one goes, and we may actually be able to pull some of our students out of, for the second class, out of the first class. So, anyway. Coming up here, 18th and 19th, we just sent out a lot of flyers and stuff here for this class in California. Lincoln, California, that's up north of Sacramento, northern part of California there. north, the southern part of the north half, I guess. And Glock Armor's class on Saturday, 8-hour disaster preparedness class on Sunday. And as soon as we get back, we'll be doing a... I forgot what we got going on the 1st of November. We have the, let's see, from the 8th to the 11th of November, 8th to the 10th. I'm not going to stay for the 11th because I have someplace else I have to be on the 11th. 8th to the 10th, I'll be in Young, Arizona, speaking and doing some instruction at a survivalist, what the heck do you call it, rendezvous. And then on the 11th, I'll have to abandon that ship, and I've got to go down to Phoenix to speak at a Arizona Citizens Defense League event. And then on the 11th, I mean on the 15th, 4 days after that, I'll need to be in Kingman because we're going to have a combination of a, I'm not sure how we're going to work this out yet. Our powers that be are working on that. But it's going to be a survivalist kind of a prepper show there that we'll have a booth at. And we're planning on putting on a private gun show like we did in Pine Top here a couple of years ago. And that's just about going to wrap us up for November because we'll have Thanksgiving there in the last weekend. And then in December, we've got some other things going. Hopefully, we'll get that close protection class going by the second week of December. So, a lot of stuff going on. Oh, I know what I forgot to say. Man, shame on me. The first weekend of November is the combat medic class at Schatz Ranch that our very own Chuck Hudson, Edge of the Woods, is going to be putting on there. And there's, ask anybody that has taken that class, there is, it has no peer. There's no equal. There's nothing like it. It's an excellent, excellent class. Very timely for what's going on right now. And extremely essential, I think, for our for anybody that's not just for preppers, but for people that hunt, hike out in the field, out in the woods, away from out of cell phone signal and radio range and all that. This is a neat class. So let's see, 007 working on two people to get stippling possible grip reductions. Yeah, I know what you mean about that. We'll have to, don't get in too terribly big a hurry, 007, because right now it's going to be a little bit before we get our FFL squared away here. What we might do is, we might be able to do this in such a way that we can get, very, very inexpensive. I just thought of something. I think we can get, we can get free or extremely cheap transfer fees. So, that being the case, let me know when you're ready. I just thought of something, just came to mind. And I know that we can do this without a doubt. So, if you get some people that's got some of this stuff that we can do, then bring it on. I know how we can do it. The... I know a guy. You'll be sending it to a guy in Prescott Valley, and we'll pick it up from him, and that will allow us to do this and not cost much more than it was costing before. And we'll do that while we're waiting to get the FFL taken care of for Schatz Ranch. So there you go. That's the full meal deal right there. That's all the stuff we got to share with you tonight. So I'm going to sneak on out of here, and we'll be here. Hopefully, Amy had a meeting. She's doing her, she does this doTERRA oil stuff, and she went to a meeting tonight that wasn't on the regular plan, so regular schedule. So hopefully she'll be with you tomorrow night and Wednesday night. So we'll hold our breath and hope that happens. So, until tomorrow, you guys have a good evening. We'll see you. Thanks for listening.
I took myself down to the fair in town on Independence.
Okay, let's call it a day, and thank you for joining me. Join me every Monday through Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time for the Shooting Bench, right here on Just Measures Radio Network.
Let freedom ring.
Thank you.